tweet at TodaySOR.
Britain's Conservative Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn went head-to-head last night in the first televised debate of the UK's general election. Voting is on 3 weeks from today. The two leaders locked horns over Brexit, the NHS, trust and leadership, the future of Scotland and of the royal family. With me in studio, Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with Independent News and Media. And on the line, I'm joined by Philip Webster, former political editor with The Times, and Dawn Foster, columnist with The Guardian and Labour Party supporter. A YouGov snap poll suggested 51% of the audience believe Boris Johnson won, compared to 49% for Jeremy Corbyn. As far as you're concerned, was there a clear winner?
No. That's margin of error territory. So it was neck and neck. I don't think either side came out with a clear win or with a knockout punch. I think both sides would be reasonably happy with finishing roundabout level. Johnson regards himself as out in front, so he would have been reasonably happy with that. But so would Corbyn, because his performance, and we've just had the figures, 6.7 million people watched this debate. That's 6.7 million people who saw him at least giving a good show, holding Johnson, and therefore that's much better than his poll position, and I think he'd probably be reasonably satisfied with that, and they'll probably feel they can build on that.
Dawn Foster, what about the potential swing voters? Might they have been persuaded one way or the other?
Yes, possibly. I mean, obviously, a lot of people watching had already decided whether or not they were Labour or Conservative voters. But when you drill down into the polling on who viewers think came out better, people actually thought that Jeremy Corbyn did pretty well, about 65% to about kind of 40% for Boris Johnson. So even though it was an even split on who viewers think won, actually Jeremy Corbyn came across a little bit better to potential swing voters. So Labour will be very happy with that. I mean, it is already Boris Johnson's election to lose. So at this, you know, still early stage, if Jeremy Corbyn is giving Boris Johnson a good run for his, for his money, then potential swing voters could be won over.
How did you call it, Fionnán Sheehan?
I always think in a leaders' debate that the pressure is on the challenger to perform better, and in that regard, you'd have to say Jeremy Corbyn didn't win. Maybe at best he gets a draw and acquitted himself quite well, but he's the one with a point to prove. I suppose in the UK, leaders' debates are still a relatively new format, and they're still bedding down in terms of what exactly they're supposed to be. Last night, ITV tried to inject a bit of showbiz into it. It seemed to start like more like a game show. Who wants to be prime minister? Showbiz style set. But the format of the debate is just so stilted. At no point would you look at it and go, that's an actual, real, live, cut and thrust debate, compared to what we're used to in the House of Commons, I suppose, from the dispatch box on a regular basis, compared to what we see ourselves in our leaders' debates here and in the United States. The clock watching throughout the debate just meant that it never really got going. It was always kind of fits and starts.
Yes. Now, during the Brexit segment, which made up, of course, the first half of the debate, Johnson challenged Corbyn on whether he will campaign for Remain or Leave in a future Brexit referendum, whilst Corbyn accused Johnson of not being honest about his timelines. Let's have a listen to some of that.
Mr. Corbyn could now tell us, are you going to campaign for Leave or Remain?
I want to bring people together. Therefore, there will be a referendum in which that decision will be made by the British people, and our government will abide by that decision. When you say you'll get it done, really, Mr. Johnson, you are going to embark on probably 7 years of negotiations with the United States on a trade deal. You've already indicated that you will allow our National Health Service to be put at risk by a trade deal with the United States. You've already indicated that you would do a Canada-style agreement, which took at least 7 years to negotiate. So you're not going to get it done in a few months, and you know that perfectly well.
On the other hand, Philip Webster, Johnson challenged Corbyn 9 times and didn't get an answer as to what Corbyn's position would be in the event of him becoming Prime Minister, getting a new negotiated deal and then putting that before the people. Is that is that a sustainable position for Labour?
I think he's going to find it increasingly difficult over the next 3 weeks to hold that position. It was undoubtedly Johnson's strongest line, and he kept coming back to it. He even tried to come back to it in the second half of the programme, which was about other matters. And, of course, the audience played its part last night. The audience, when Corbyn told the audience or told the viewers that his position was quite clear, this provoked quite a laugh from the audience, and it wasn't a nice kind of laugh. It was an ironic laugh. It was a laugh saying, "You must be joking, mate." And that is undoubtedly Corbyn's weak point in this election. He can't say what he would do in a referendum following the election, and Johnson will keep coming back to it. Corbyn's strong point, of course, was the 7 years. He has every right to point out that Johnson will not do a deal by the end of next year. Nobody in politics believes that's possible. So Corbyn did as much as he could do by coming back and saying time and again, look, it's going to take 7 years. It's not going to be done in a year. And you know that, Mr. Johnson. So he came back, but undoubtedly that was strongest point for Johnson.
Of course, Corbyn was always going to attack the Prime Minister over his familiar claim that the NHS is going to be thrown open to the US pharmaceutical giants. That's Corbyn's claim because of a post-Brexit trade deal. Now, again, last night, the Labour leader came armed with a visual aid. Now, it wasn't fully in shot. This was a redacted account of secret meetings the government had with US trade officials.
A document here of US-UK negotiations, summary of specific negotiations.
Let's allow Mr.
Full
Johnson.
Market access for US products to our National Health Service. You're going to sell
Johnson,
our National Health
point.
Service out to the United States and Big Pharma.
This is an absolute invention. It is completely untrue. There are no circumstances whatever in which this government or any Conservative government will put the NHS on the table in any trade negotiation. Our NHS will never be for sale.
Don Foster, how would you call that exchange?
I think that definitely the NHS is Boris Johnson's weakest point. I mean, obviously he thought that a winter election was good timing in terms of Brexit, etc. But it also leaves him open to the fact that we're about to enter a winter health crisis, and that always makes the NHS struggle. So first of all, Donald Trump has been very clear that he would like to see the NHS being part of any trade negotiation. So, Boris Johnson can't really argue against that. But also, having the visual aid, having the redacted reports does make it look a lot, very, very suspicious. And in addition to that, you have, 10 years of austerity that has really cut the NHS. It's cut all sorts of public services. So, Boris Johnson wants this election to focus on Brexit, and and Labour and Jeremy Corbyn will want to look at public services. And when you look at, a lot of swing voters, but particularly potential Labour voters, the NHS is actually a much bigger issue for them than Brexit. So it makes sense for Jeremy Corbyn to carry on with this. And the fact that the report is redacted, and the fact that Boris Johnson is seen as untrustworthy by people, I think really replays to Labour's strengths in this instance.
Let's hear another brief extract. This is where the audience involvement was particularly evident, ready to laugh at the leader's statements and not in a particularly friendly way, especially when Boris Johnson was asked about the truth.
But this is about personal integrity and individual character. Does the truth matter in this election?
I think it does. And I think it very important. I think it very important to hear from... I've been very clear about the deal that I've done. There it is. It's in black and white.
Finnan, not a very good reaction from Johnson's point of view there. From the
no, and this is the problem with him. You'd you'd look at him and say a leader like that with so many question marks over his integrity, over his credibility, over his authority, how can you not but score points against him? And that's a big weak point for him. To be fair to Jeremy Corbyn, you'd have to say he didn't go after him on a personal level. I was looking at the UK media yesterday. There was an anticipation that if Jeremy Corbyn was to bring up anything personal about Boris Johnson, about his personal life, about the Jennifer Curie issue, that would be a sticking point for Mr. Johnson. He didn't go down that route at all. But any time you go near anything around trust and credibility in Boris Johnson, he is in a difficult scenario. And that's why it suits him to start throwing back his theories about a coalition of chaos, about Labour and the SNP getting together, this resulting in two referenda coming on the track, trying to cast aspersions in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and I suppose there was laughter in the other direction as well, Philip. Corbyn laughed over his suggestion of a four-day working week. Now, between the laughing and the clapping, was the audience involvement at times too much of a distraction?
Yeah, there was quite a thought, certainly among the broadcasters, that these debates shouldn't actually have audiences because they are carefully chosen audiences with people, obviously, who are conservatives, going to support Johnson, people who are Labour, who are going to support Corbyn. And in a way, it's not necessarily accurate representation in the terms of the noise they make. So some people feel it would be much better to have debate where the presenter, in this case, you know, the ITV presenter, she would be asking the questions all the way through and being able to follow them through. The fact that you have an audience there can be a distraction. In a way, it was last night, but in a way, the two most telling parts of the evening were those two laughter moments, one doing down Corbyn, one doing down Johnson.
Of course, they were both asked as well, pardon me, about current controversies, particularly the Prince Andrew situation, the ongoing questions about his relationship with the US businessman and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. With the BBC Newsnight interview, I suppose, fresh in people's minds, it was hardly surprising this issue came up.
Is the monarchy fit for purpose, Jeremy Corbyn?
Needs a bit of improvement.
Mr. Johnson.
The institution of the monarchy is beyond reproach.
Is Prince Andrew fit for purpose?
Before we discuss Prince Andrew, I think we should discuss the victims that are there because of what Epstein was doing. And I think there are very, very serious questions that must be answered, and nobody should be above the law, but the primary position ought to be the proper treatment of those people who are victims of the most appalling behaviour by apparently Epstein and many others.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Johnson.
I think all our sympathies should be obviously with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and the law must certainly take its course.
So, Philip, how do you think they both dealt with that? I'd imagine they were well prepared for it anyway. They couldn't have been surprised that it came up.
They shouldn't have been surprised. And I think Corbyn looked a little bit more slick with his very quick answer about the monarchy being improved. He also, I think, led the way on the question of the victims needing to be thought of first. Johnson had time while Corbyn was giving his answer, and I think that was a very sensible move by Johnson to actually follow Corbyn on that point and to avoid getting into the whole question of what he thought about Prince Andrew. He also actually backed the institution of the monarchy, I'm sure you noticed, rather than the monarchy as it is now, including, of course, Prince Andrew. So Corbyn came out of that just a little bit better, I felt.
Yes, something else that arose by way of controversy last night wasn't directly from this debate, but it was the Conservative Party rebranding one of its Twitter accounts for the debate. It presented itself as, or renamed it as, Fact Check UK for the duration of the broadcast. Now, Twitter, Fionn Sheehan, has said the Conservative Party misled the public. It's hard to disagree with that, isn't it?
No, but social media is a propaganda tool. I mean, Twitter, Facebook and other social media outlets allow all sorts of claims and counterclaims be put up upon their platforms and then turn around and say, well, you know, we can't control what people say here. And we've seen the lengthy delays that there are in them dealing with such matters. So it's not as if they can turn around and complain, somehow question their credibility being called into mind here. Ultimately, when you look at last night's debate, you'd have to say there wasn't all that much in it that you'd say, well, are these facts or that? Mm-hmm. You know, Jeremy Corbyn slightly slips up on the DUP issue fairly mildly, nothing major there. Boris Johnson it did seem to kind of shift a little bit to the left, or indeed back towards the centre in terms of his spending commitments. So there were items to tease out there, but nothing that you'd have to say was a zinger that people would be leaping all over. And again, goes back to the format. If you look at the Prince Andrew answers, Jeremy Corbyn starts by saying, before we discuss Prince Andrew, but then he's not pressed on, well, what exactly is your view on Prince Andrew? So tidbits out of both leaders, I'd say both sides were quite happy with their outcome.
And levity towards the end, Don Foster, when they were asked what book they were, what present they would put under each other's tree. The Christmas Carol was Corbyn's offer to Johnson, and the Brexit book was Johnson's offer to Corbyn. What did you make of that for a wind-up?
I think it worked pretty well. I mean, you know, Boris Johnson saying that he would give Jeremy Corbyn some damson jam, and Jeremy Corbyn pointing out he can make his own. I think it's quite clear that both men really, really can't stand each other, and so, you know, I think that came across. But at least they did actually give it a bit, you know, a bit of a bash when it came to being a bit more amiable. And I think, again, you know, we mentioned briefly before, Jeremy Corbyn didn't go on the attack on Jennifer Arcuri, etc. And I think both men realised that, you know, going on the attack and being particularly you know, harsh on each other doesn't play well with the public, and that's why they tried to go for some levity there.
Okay, well, look, thank you all indeed for joining me with those insights. Don Foster, columnist with The Guardian, Philip Webster, formerly political editor with The Times, and Fionn Sheehan, Ireland editor with Independent News and Media. Paddy O'Gorman will be in studio after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.